The Premier of New South Wales, Mike Baird, made a surprise resignation from his position, and we have been privileged to have a representative from the Department of Government and International Relations, Dr. Peter Chen, who will explain what happened to the Premier. Good afternoon, Dr. Chen.
Good afternoon.
Can you explain why and how resignation of a Premier can be really so sudden?
Yeah, so this appears to be simply a case that there has been a number of personal circumstance changes in the life of the Premier. The health of his sister, who is suffering from cancer, and both his parents are quite unwell. And so over the holidays, it looks like the Premier has decided to retire from public life, which is extremely demanding on the time of an individual, and return to his private life and leave office. Not a bad time for the Premier to hand over the leadership. We have a number of years to go before the next state election in New South Wales, which will mean his replacement will have time to develop their profile and put their own stamp on the government. It's also a relatively quiet time in the work life of a government, so it's not a bad time for the Premier to leave. So I think this is simply an explained story of a man who's been relatively successful in his brief but productive period of time as Premier of New South Wales. He was thrust into the spotlight following the surprise resignation of his predecessor. Mm. He's achieved many of the objectives that he set for himself and is going with relatively solid polling. So the Premier's polling had dipped in the middle of 2016, but by the end of the year, he has bounced back.
Of course, we have to put in focus some of the Premier's recent moves, like cancelling the dog races.
Yeah, so that's probably going to be regarded as one of the failings of the Premier, because it was a decision that was personal, point of principle decision that he made, and then his decision to backtrack on that was personally damaging to him. The Premier has also been under a lot of pressure to moderate the relatively strong policy they took on the one punch and the lockout laws. And certainly the government has been criticised for some of its positions around changes to animal protection around native animals, but also infrastructure. But by and large, the two major areas that have been damaging to the Premier in the last year or so have been the issue of the lockout laws, which is localised within Sydney, and the greyhound issue, which was more damaging to the coalition partner, the National Party, than the Premier's party per se.
Of course, we also have to put in place the amalgamation of councils, where it's affecting most of the councils in New South Wales.
Yeah, I think it's actually very questionable whether the government took a significant hit on that issue. Certainly, if we look at research into citizens' views of local government, citizens are very positive view about their local government, but actually they tend not to know that much about the politics, the administration of their local government administration areas. And I think the Premier was actually very politically savvy in handling that issue, where he tended to focus his amalgamations on urban councils, particularly in Sydney, with an emphasis on achieving economies of scope and scale. I think overarching concerns about the state of the budget will certainly be part of his legacy, and also his capacity to realise a few major policy reforms that he talked about, particularly the sale of poles and wires, yeah, and the privatisation of state assets as the basis for infrastructure expenditure.
Mm. Moving on, looking forward, who do you think will be in a position to replace him?
Yeah, so it does look like the current Treasurer, Gladys Berejiklian, will take over as the Premier. She is obviously not the Deputy Leader because of the coalition agreement. The Deputy Leader is the National Party member, and so they won't become the Premier. So she's the second most significant Liberal Party politician. She also has a reputation for being extremely effective, both in terms of the relatively short period of time she's been Treasurer, but particularly in her takeover of the transport portfolio. And the Baird government did put a lot of emphasis on the work it's done improving services in terms of public transport, but also considerable expenditure on infrastructure around private transport projects and WestConnex light rail, and some developments around the north of Sydney are good examples of that. So she's both well placed in terms of continuity in terms of the economic agenda of the government, but also having a very strong grasp of the complex and expensive projects that are at the heart of the government's core focus at present. So she looks like the obvious person to take over, possibly with Andrew Constant replacing her as treasurer.
Very nice analysis. We have been speaking with Dr. Peter Chan, a political expert from the Department of Government and International Relations. Dr. Chan, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
SBS.
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 SBS Radio.